2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll begin in verse number 6. And this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. For now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to understand this portion of Scripture, and Lord, that we would understand, dear God, how you view economy, Lord, how you view economics. And Lord, I pray that we would learn something about this matter of thankful giving. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I like this portion of Scripture. I want you to stay with your Bible open right here, because we're going to keep pointing you back into these verses throughout the message. I may go over and read a place or read something out loud to you, but for the most part, if you'll stay right here, we're going to be referring back into this portion of Scripture several times. Look, if you will, in verse number 13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Now, I think that's interesting. I love these little phrases in the Bible that make me stop and think and pray and ponder and study. Did you see that little phrase, whilst by the experiment of this ministration? Now, what in the world does that even mean, preacher? Well, I want to, first of all, let's look at the word experiment. I did a word study on that one to make sure that I was right in my assumption on that. So Paul is saying, I think that I would like to encourage you to be involved in an experiment. Now, the word experiment is a word we would widely associate with science. You know, you go to science class and you do some experiments there. There's something called the scientific process. Many of you probably remember this from school. Okay, maybe one or two of you remember this from school. But there's a process that people go through in order to come up with a conclusion. They start the scientific process as 6 steps. Ask a question, research. Number 2, research what others have concluded. Number 3, form a hypothesis or testable explanation. Number 4, carry out an experiment to test your hypothesis. Number 5, analyze data and record observations. And then number 6, alliterate the results. And how many of you, now that sounds familiar, now that I said, oh yes, all over the auditorium, you remember that. And so the scientific process, and it involves an experiment. In other words, you can say, well, I believe that this is true, but in order to prove that it's true, I've got to conduct an experiment that's either going to prove me right or prove me wrong. That's the scientific method. Now, Paul said there's something called the experiment of ministration. I think that that's interesting. What's the word ministration mean? We look at the word ministration and we get the idea of giving or of serving or sacrifice to others. Now, stay with me. We see in our text in verse 13 this phrase, the experiment of this ministration. He's using a science term to encourage us to either prove or disprove a hypothesis. Stay with me. The question he poses in this portion of Scripture can be summarized thus. Now, I'm going to just throw out the hypothesis, and then we're going to do an experiment this morning. We're going to see how it goes, all right? Here's the hypothesis. Here's the question that Paul wants an answer to and wants to give an answer to. How can we live a blessed Christian life? How can we live a blessed Christian life? Let me ask you this. Did you live a blessed Christian life in 2019? How can we live a blessed Christian life? Well, then Paul does some research, and his research produces a hypothesis, and this is his hypothesis, and we'll show you this in the scripture in just a minute. The blessed Christian life is achieved through a life of thankful giving. Now, I'm saying that the way I am on purpose, because too many times when we say thanksgiving, that's what that means, thankful giving, but we say thanksgiving and we don't think of being thankful or giving, we think of turkey. And so I'm rephrasing this. We're rephrasing this so it makes us ponder and think. So here's his hypothesis. The blessed Christian life is achieved through a life of thankful giving. He then urges the church of Corinth, the members of that church, hey, I dare you, prove the hypothesis. And you can prove it by conducting the experiment of ministration. To preacher, I'm still not following you. Stay with me. The word ministration means to serve or to give. What Paul is challenging the church members to do is to engage in a life of thankful giving and cheerful sacrifice and see if that does not lead to the blessed Christian life. This morning, it's my goal. I'd like to bring that same challenge to those who are in attendance here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. God does not mind being tested.
Right.
Say, preacher, is this allowed? Yes. God encourages us to prove his word and prove his faithfulness in the area of giving. He says in Malachi chapter 3, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And so God says, listen, I love this. The Lord says, I'm not hiding how to be blessed. Matter of fact, I'm putting it in black and white right in my King James Holy Bible here. I'm giving you the formula of how to live a blessed Christian life. Now he said, you can believe it or you cannot believe it. But let me, before you dismiss it, ask you to at least go through with the experiment.
Right.
Prove it and see if it's not true. And he said, I want you to prove me. I dare you to prove me. Listen, folks, if God says he's going to do something, if you do this, he'll do this. Then I promise you, if you do this, he will do this. Because God is faithful and he always keeps his word. Now, I want to share with you this experiment of ministration. I want to kind of take you down through this portion of scripture. And again, stay with your Bible open there. Because, folks, if we don't understand what Thanksgiving is, all we think about is a week where we don't have to go to work or we don't have to go to school and we gather with family. And we don't understand that this is not a day. This is supposed to be a lifestyle, a life of thankful giving. And the more that you prove this experiment, the more that you conduct this experiment, the more you will prove out Paul's hypothesis to be true. And that's this: the happiest Christians and the most blessed Christians are the ones that regularly participate in thankful giving. So I'm going to go through some things with you this morning that we're going to take out of this portion of scripture that will hopefully be a help to you. And it's a long message, and I have a feeling it's going to be there. See, I got the message, and then I've got the message in the introduction, then I've got the message in the message, then I've got the message in the conclusion. The message in the conclusion will probably be the Sunday night message. We'll see how we do. We'll see how we get through this. That's all right. Then I can go home, take a nap, and I'll have to study for tonight. I'm already done. All right. Let me give you some things. Number one, God gives us the blessings. God gives us blessings.
Yes, sir.
Now, folks, listen to me. You can stand up, and you want to contest that. If you were brave enough to stand up here and stand up and say, well, maybe he blesses everybody else, but he doesn't bless me. I'm sorry, but shame on you. Shame on you for being so unthankful or so ignorant that you don't understand and can't look around every single day and see how many blessings God has given to you and given to me.
folks, you know what? I love, thank you, Brother Tom. You could tell he took some time and picked out the songs, and it set up the message, and it set up the season. I love it when Brother Tom's great at this. Song leader, he's sensitive to what's going on, what the week's about. He picks the songs in accordance to that. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, good night. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. It'll surprise you what the Lord hath done. I know I say this a lot, folks, but you know what? Every life has heartache, and every life has burdens, and every life is going to have a certain amount of trials and trouble that come into it. But the honest truth is that we pay way too much attention to those things and not enough attention to the blessings of God, because God has been good. Thank you, Sister Tanya, all the time. God is good. In the valley, God is still good. So God gives us blessings. In James chapter 1, we read, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, any good gift or any good thing that happened to you this week, let me just tell you where it came from. It came from Almighty God. It's because of the mercy of God. It's because of the grace of God upon our life. Now, we can recognize it or not recognize it. We can acknowledge it or we cannot acknowledge it. But every single one of us, even the most unthankful person in this room, you still were blessed by God this week. You were still blessed by God. So number one, God gives us all blessings. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Folks, sometimes when we talk about blessings, because we're Americans, we immediately go to materialism. But I want you to stop thinking that way, okay? Because most of the blessings of God are not material things. Did you see that where it says that he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ? And folks, listen to me. So much of the blessings of life have nothing to do with finances or materialism. The blessings of life are through the relationships that we enjoy, and through the relationship with God, and through the peace that cometh from the Holy Spirit that indwells in us, and through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? God is the one who sends those great blessings. So number one, God gives us blessings. Now number two, this is important. God then, watch this, now he's given you blessings this week. He's given you blessings this month. He's poured out blessings upon you in 2019. So he's done his part, number one. Number two, God then grades us according to the blessings we receive. Now this is very, very important, because if you don't understand how God works on this, you're not going to understand. Preacher, I just don't feel like I really live a blessed life. Well, maybe I'm going to be able to help you to turn that thing around this morning. Because see, God not only showers blessings upon us, but once he gives us blessings, then he has a right to step back and grade us on those blessings. Now I want you to look, if you will, in our text in verse number 11, please. And I want to show you how the Bible says that he grades us, okay? Verse number 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Now, stay with me here. God's going to grade us according to the blessings we receive, and he's going to grade us in three categories. Now, in order to help you here, okay, because if we're not careful, preacher gives an outline and an outline, and then we forget it. Okay, 2019, here's your report card. Been a long time since some of you had a report card. You remember the fear that it used to put into your heart when you had to take your report card home to your parents. So I'm telling you that God not only blesses us, but then he opens up his report card. And by the way, we're down to about another month and a half, and he's going to be putting the final grade on 2019 in Jerry Ross's report card when it comes to thankful giving. Everybody's going to get graded on this, okay? And so he's going to grade us in three areas, and this will help you to understand and keep these things in mind. I just read in our text there, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us what? Thanksgiving to God. So, okay, God's going to bless you with something, okay? He's going to pour out blessings upon your life. He's going to set back, and the first thing he's going to evaluate is this. What grade do they get when it comes to being thankful for what I'm doing for them? What grade do I put on the report card? okay? I mean, if you've gone an entire week and not one time you've bowed your head and just say, thank you, God, for being so good. Amen. Thank you, God, for what you just did. Can I tell you this? You're flunking. Amen. You're flunking. One of the things that will destroy your Christian life and your spirit more than any other thing is to lose your thankful spirit. I mean this, folks. I don't do a lot of things. I don't get it all right. But I'll tell you, in this area of my life, God is my witness. He hears out of the mouth and out of the heart of Jerry Ross, thank you all of the time. Because if I let thankfulness die in my heart, my spiritual life will die with it. Preacher, I don't feel like I'm really living the blessed Christian life. Well, can I ask you, what grade are you getting in thankfulness? Come on, you're real good about complaining and being bitter and blaming God about the handful of things that didn't go your way. When's the last time you got on your knees? And with tears running down your face and a full heart realization of just how good God's been to you. You know what? God says, I'm going to give him blessings. And so he gives him blessings and he pours out blessings. And he sits back and says, well, I'm going to give you a grade now. Let's look at how thankful they are. Now, come on, folks. Those of us that are parents, we can understand that. Come on, grandparents. You know, we love doing things for our kids. And we do love doing things for our grandkids. And you know what? The honest truth is we're going to do those things probably whether or not they're thankful or not. But it sure is awful sweet when somebody says thank you. Yes, sir. I went to my office door last week after church, and there the 2 and 3 year old Sunday school class had put a big poster up with all of their pictures on there. Now, that's not the same one I showed you. That was the nursery class, the 2 and 3 year olds. Now I go back there and the 4 year old class has got a poster up there. Now, folks, listen to me. You know what? I don't have to wonder whether or not those kids are thankful. You know why? They took time to say it. I don't have to wonder whether or not that teacher is appreciative of their pastor because they took the time and effort to say it. You know what? Yeah, but preacher, God knows my heart and God knows that I'm thankful. And God does know your heart, but he also listens for your words. And you know, isn't it interesting when Jesus gave us that parable and there were 10 lepers that came and Jesus healed every one of them. And you know what? All 10 of them took off. And then one of them thought, where am I going? And he ran back and he glorified God and he was thankful in his heart. And you know what Jesus said? Where are the other 9? Now, if I had leprosy and I was healed, I believe in my heart I would be thankful for that. But you know what? God, he didn't count it because it was in their heart. He counted the one that came back and said it to him. I want to give you one of the most important Bible principles that you'll ever hear. Unexpressed thankfulness in God's eyes is unthankfulness. You say, well, I appreciate my wife. When's the last time you told her? Well, she knows. Listen, you know what? If you don't say it, she don't know it. I appreciate my husband. When's the last time you said it? Come on, kids. When's the last time you said, I appreciate mom, I appreciate dad? Preacher, I know that. Surely they know. Have you said it? Because I believe this whole idea of, well, it's in my heart. Well, why don't you get it out of your heart? Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, I wonder if it really is in your heart. Because if it's in my heart, it comes out. And if it's in your heart, it's going to come out. And I'm saying this, God's going to pour blessings on us. And folks, come on, you can say it with me. Come on, testify to this. You know what? He's poured a lot of blessings on Jerry Ross that he never got a thank you for. But you know what he did? He got up the next day and done it again. And he got up the next day and he done it again. And he got up the next day and he done it again. I can see stretches in my life where I received some of the most wonderful blessings and I never even said thank you. Well, my report card didn't come out very good, so he's grading us this morning. And the first thing, area he's going to grade us on is our thankfulness. Now, folks, I'm going to belabor this, but if there's any thing in the Bible where we have clear command, it's in this matter of being thankful. Psalms 92:1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Psalms 107:1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 136:1-3, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So God's given us plain command. You ought to be thankful. He pours blessings on us. Then he opens a report card and says, okay, what are they going to get for thankfulness? Number 2,
We're going to be graded on three things. He grades our thankfulness. Number two, he grades our stewardship. So he grades us whether or not we're thankful for what we have received. Then he's going to grade us concerning on what we do with the things that we receive. Now look, if you will, back in the text, this is so important, verse 9. We're going to read the verses that are in parentheses, 9 and 10. Here we go. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. Yes, he has. God has. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower. Now stay with me here. That's talking about God. He wants us to be sowers. We're going to find this out in a minute. So what he does is he provides us seed. And he gives us seeds with the intent of us being sowers. Stay with me. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now he just told you what he's going to grade you on in the area of stewardship. How does he judge us faithful in stewardship? He that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. So he's going to, I want you to imagine, we're getting a picture of us getting blessings in the form of grain, of seed. Okay, so he said, I'm going to give you a certain amount of grain or seed in 2019. Now he said, by the way, isn't God good? God said, I want you to take of that seed and provide for you and provide for your family. Isn't that what it says there first? He says, now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. So it's not like God said, I'm going to pour out blessings upon you, and I want you to take everything I give, and I want you to sow it and give it away and distribute it. He's saying, I understand that part of the blessings that I'm putting upon you is for your needs and for your benefit and to be a blessing to you. And I said it last week, God spoils his children.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? It's not a wrong thing for you to take some of what God has given you and do for yourself and do for your family and provide your needs and live a decent, good life. But wait a minute. That's just the first reason he gives us. He's not giving seed to the selfish. He's giving seed to the sower. And in reward for your willingness to be willing to sow, he's saying, I want you to take a portion of that seed and provide for your own bread. So that's number one. Watch this. Grading our stewardship. How does he grade us on stewardship? He says, all right, are they providing for their own? Are they taking part of what I've given them, and are they paying their own bills? Are they living honestly? Are they being a blessing? Are they taking care of their children? Are they being sweet and kind to their wife? I think this is important. Are they spoiling their grandkids? I think that God likes to see grandkids spoiled, all right? He's saying, hey, I want you to take a portion of it. By the way, God wants you to live a good life.
Yes, sir.
He could have said, now listen, I'm going to give you, but guess what? It's mine. And you know what? I want you to get. No, he said, I understand you have needs. And I understand that you have bills. And I understand that you need to take care of your family. And that's part of what I'm going to grade you on. But then he goes on and says, verse number 10, now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, that's the first one, comma, and multiply your seed sown. Now, this is the next thing God's going to say. He's going to say, all right, I've given you all these blessings, 2019. Have you just kept it all? Have you just used it for yourself? Do you never sow anything? Do you never share anything? Because one of the major reasons that he's given us the blessings is to see. Now we're going to get a grade. What are we going to do with the blessings? All right, first of all, are they thankful for them? Yes. All right, A plus. Number two, what are you doing with them when it comes to stewardship? Are you taking care of your family the way you ought to? Are you then, what are you doing with the abundance? What are you doing with the extra? Because he said this, I love this, we're going to see, and multiply your seed sown. So he's saying, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a certain amount of blessings. I want you to provide for your family, and then I want you to have an open heart, and I want you to be led by the Holy Spirit, and I want you to have a generous spirit, because there's going to be opportunities come your way where you can help people. Okay, you need to invest in your church. You need to give tithes. You need to give offerings. You need to be sensitive to your brothers and sisters in Christ and what they're going through.
You need to look for opportunity to express thankfulness. You need to invest in one of these young people that's being brought on the bus that maybe don't have all the things that they need. You need to invest in that family on your bus route that's not going to have much of a Christmas. God says, listen, come on, American Christians, good night. It's not like God is not abundantly good to us. So he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you blessings for 2019, and I'm going to grade you in stewardship. All right, are you taking care of your family? Number two, with the abundance beyond that, do you have a generous heart? And he said, listen, I'm going to multiply the seed sown. That's what that phrase said. So what Jesus then does is he sees how much of the seed that he's trusted you with you're willing to sow. You're willing to distribute. And he keeps count of that. And then he says, I'm going to multiply that. Boy, please listen to me, because we're getting down to the blessed Christian life. Because you know what? Next year, after you get your great report card, we're going to decide in 2020 whether or not we multiply your seed or not. Now, I'm sorry, but God doesn't bless selfish, stingy Christians. Matter of fact, he begins to withhold from selfish, stingy Christians. We're talking about Thanksgiving, preacher thing. No, we're talking about thankful giving. Okay, and Thanksgiving is thankful giving. I am so thankful because God's given to me beyond what I deserve. Come on now. And now I'm going to take this and I'm going to care for my family. And God wants me to do that. But also I'm going to take some of the abundance. I'm going to take and I want to liberally distribute it. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. I want to send one of our missionaries an extra gift for the Christmas season. I want to make sure, boy, then that break your heart when Brother Todd told us that 75% of missionary kids raised up on the mission field don't even attend church later on. And I wonder it's because we held back in our liberality to them. That all they saw was the negative. All they saw is doing without. Listen, folks, we can be a blessing if we will. So he grades us on our stewardship, bread for our food. Number two, seed to be sown. Now watch this. Number three, wise investments that produces righteousness. Now this is so important because it says at the end of verse number 10, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now watch this, folks. Some people will say, well, I am thankful and I do take a little bit of what I have left or some of the abundance and I sow it and distribute it and we feel like we're a good Christian because we helped people or gave it away or did whatever. But you know what he said? He said, you also are going to get graded on what you're doing with that abundance and who you're giving it to and whether or not it's going to produce righteousness. Okay, folks, listen to me. If you're going to be a Christian and you're going to be a giving Christian, then make good investments. Okay, I think putting money in the offering at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and keeping these buses on the road, I think that's a good investment. I think giving missions, I think that's a good investment. I think there's other opportunities God's going to give you a chance to help somebody, be a blessing. But wait a minute. When you invest that ought to bring a return of righteousness. Okay? I think we ought to take a step back here. I can't check it. I'm just going to say it. And you know what? People can throw stones if they want to. But I can't check out of any store anymore where somebody want me to round my change up or give to some organization somewhere. And you know what? It's almost like we're put in the spot. There's people behind us in line. We don't want to look like we don't care. Would you like to give the rest of this to helping illiterate Dalmatians learn how to read? Or, you know, I don't. Okay. Folks, I want you to listen because this is a steadfast rule with Jerry Ross. I don't give to anything where I don't know where it's going. I don't give to anything where I don't know how they're handling it. And there's a lot of these organizations, folks, that are going to be bombing everybody during the holiday season. And you know what? They want you to give to this organization. You want to give that organization. Oh, preacher, we give every year to United Way. Do you know what United Way, you know where that money's going? You know what they help support? You know they're in the baby killing business. Now I'm calling them out. And they're not the only ones out there. What I'm saying is this. Folks, listen to me. Sometimes, well, everybody standing on the street. Everybody that's in front of Walmart. I mean, you can't go anywhere with somebody saying, gimme, 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 gimme. Well, listen to me. You know why I invest the money where I invest the money? And the vast majority of it to the local New Testament church. Because I know that that's going to produce rewards in heaven one of these days. Okay, and I'm all for you listening to the Holy Spirit of God, but I'm not for you listening to guilt trips and mistake that for the voice of God. I just got to the point where I'm just, you know, I have no problem saying, no, ma'am, no, sir. I have no idea what that organization is. I don't know where that money goes. No, I want to invest in where it's going to produce righteousness. I want to invest in lost souls, reaching lost souls. I want to invest in the spreading of the gospel around the world. I want to invest in people, listen to me, in people that are living for the Lord Jesus Christ, in people and families that are trying to, I didn't say perfect people, I'm saying are trying to do right. Now I'm going to say something's going to be a little hard for some of you to take, but some of you need to cut off some of your relatives. Who's always coming to you wanting. And they won't even darken the door of a church on Sunday morning. Yeah, but they're my son, they're my daughter, they're my grandchildren. So what?
Amen.
What he's saying is, I'm grading you, okay? I'm giving you so many blessings. And he said, first of all, I'm going to give you a grade just based on thankfulness. Number two, I'm going to watch what you do with that money. And he said, by the way, it's okay to take care of your own. And by the way, number two, you're going to have some abundance, and you ought to have a generous heart when it comes to that abundance. Starts with giving tithes and offerings in your local New Testament church. It starts with being able to be willing to support missions program, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But beyond that, the Holy Spirit of God will lead and guide and direct you. But make sure that when you make investments, it is going to produce righteousness in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why when you open your thankfulness giving report card at the end of 2019, you're going to get a grade for thankfulness and you're going to get a grade for stewardship. And it'll be based on what did you do with what the Lord entrusted to you. Now, he said, I'm going to watch and I will multiply your seed according to your grade.
Right.
I just don't understand. God blesses everybody else and poor us. First of all, that's not true. There's not anybody living in this, right here at this church. Not one person, the poorest person in this church building this morning lives like a king.
Yes, sir.
Compared to 90% of the people that live in third world countries.
Amen.
In America.
Yes, sir, that's right.
And you know what? I don't believe in equal giving, but I believe in equal sacrifice.
Yes,
and you know what? Even when we didn't have much of anything, I mean, I said we didn't sometimes have two nickels to rub together. You know what? We still kept an open heart, and when God would tell us to give, we gave. Well, if I had, you know, I tell the story about the farmer that came up to the preacher and said, you know, preacher, if I had $1 million, I'd give it to the church. And he said, why don't you give two pigs? And he said, preacher, that's not fair. You know I have two pigs. It's amazing what we'd be willing to promise to God if we had it. God's not interested in what you would do with what if you only had it. He's more interested in what you're doing with what he's giving you right now.
Yes.
And you know what? He can just kind of keep you right there. Oh no, I've got this plan for 2020. And you know what? I'm going to make more money. And you know what? He can turn loose the devourers into your life. And the more you make, the more he can take.
Yes.
What I'm saying is, folks, listen to me. Thanksgiving ought to be a reset button in all our lives. Understand that Thanksgiving is thankful giving. And you know what? It starts with a thankful spirit concerning the fact that God has been so good and so generous to us. And man, God ought to just see that. We ought to wipe tears at times from our face when we are overwhelmed by the goodness of God in our lives. It ought to be a normal and natural thing for God's people to be on their knees, maybe on their face before God, saying, God, you've been so good to me.
Right.
You've been so good to my family. You've been so good to my children. I mean, you know what? Well, if God, I just don't have anything to be thankful for. No, you just have lost your thankful heart.
Yes, sir.
Because you have a lot to be thankful for,
yes,
and so do I. And so it starts with a thankful spirit. Then God's going to say, okay, now we're going to grade you on 2019. Let's look at this. What are you going to do with it? Okay, I appreciate that you appreciate it. But now what are you actually going to do with it? And he said, well, Lord, I'm going to use this much. I'm going to get your okay. I want to use this much. I want to be good to my kids and my wife. And I want to be a blessing. And I know it's beyond the needs. And I think God says, that's okay. I'll prove that. And then God said, but what about the rest? Well, I thought we'd buy this toy and that toy and do this and do that and take this trip and do that and do this and do that. And God's like, really? Because I don't multiply those seeds. I multiply the seed sown. That's the multiplier. And by the way, when you're sowing that seed, you better make sure where that's going.
Right.
Because if you're sowing seed that's producing evil, then you know what? I don't multiply that seed.
Right.
You be conscious of who and what you're giving to.
Right.
And I think when it comes to people that are trying to live for God, buddy, I'm going to do everything I can to put fuel on that fire.
Yeah.
But you know what? Somebody that's turned their back against God, don't give a hoot about God, won't even go to church. Well, you know what? Let the devil take care of them.
Yes,
you hear what I said? Let the devil take care of them.
Yes,
see how good of a father he is to them.
Yes.
Maybe that'll bring them to repentance. Then the last one, if you look in verse number 7, watch this. Isn't this good? Say, preacher, that multiplication thing. Oh, yeah. Well, that's what we read in verse 6 and 7. For this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Here's the last grade you're going to get. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I'm going to tell you how to live the blessed Christian life. I mean, folks, it's not rocket science. You know how to live the blessed Christian life? Get A pluses on your report card. Get A's on your report card.
Yes, sir.
Okay? I say, preacher, 2019's gone. No, it's not. Let's finish strong. I just, preacher, I haven't been as thankful as I ought to be. Well, let's start today. Let's start this week. And by the way, maybe you want to spend the first week just apologizing to God for being so unthankful.
Right.
Yeah. And then just pour it on all the way to the end of the year. And then in 2020, say, Lord, I'm going to tell you what. The sun's not going to rise and set without you hearing from my lips. Thank you.
Come on.
Good.
You've been good to me.
Yes.
In everything, give thanks.
Yeah.
What about when you have the worst day of 2019 you can have? You know what? You get on your knees and say, God, you're still good.
Yeah.
In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Because, folks, listen to me. I want you to say it again. Boy, I like saying this. I want Blessed Old Baptist Church to get this, and I think you do. But your worst day on earth as a saved person is 10 billion times better than the best day anybody will ever spend in hell.
Yes.
That's right.
Wow. Come on.
So all my very, I don't care if it's my worst, I don't care if I went back and said, let me tell you about the worst day that I've lived in 58 years. It's still 10 billion times better than the best day that rich man's had since he landed in hell. So what have I got to complain about? God is good. All the time. All the time. God is good. So he deserves our thankfulness on our worst day. And I think he appreciates it more than our thankfulness on our best day.
Yes.
Are you with me? What about this matter of cheerfulness? Okay, preacher, I'm going to get a report card. And God, I recognize God has been so good. His blessings. And so I got a thankful spirit. And preacher, thank you for the reminder this morning. Because I want to properly manage what God has so generously given me. And thank you, Lord, for taking care of me and mine, but also help me to sow it and make sure wherever I'm sowing it, it's going to produce something good and righteous. And then God says this, all right, here's the other grade you're going to get. Three grades are your report card, cheerfulness. Because, you know, folks, we can be thankful. And then from here to here, we have to go through here. And sometimes it's like, okay, Lord, boy, you just sent this extra we didn't expect. And so I'm going to pray about it. Lord, surely you want me to keep it, don't you? And man, I really kind of wanted to. And the Holy Spirit's like, no. I've let you have enough stuff this year. I didn't give you that extra for you. I want you to go help brother so-and-so, miss so-and-so. I want you to go help this bus kid. I want you to give a little extra to the mission so that we can send something extra come Christmas. I want you to do with that. And you know what? We can be obedient. Come on, we can be obedient and not happy about it.
Right.
Come on, parents. Come on, parents. Have you seen times when your children obeyed you, but they did not have a cheerfulness about them? Now, I still want to say to the kids, good for you that you obeyed mom and dad. But you know what the problem is? You may have got an A in obedience, but you got an F in cheerfulness.
Right.
And you know what God says? He wants us not only to be thankful and not only brightly distribute what he's given us, But when we are prompted, we are given opportunity to, listen to this, I love this word we don't use enough, to sacrificially at times do something for someone else. I think it ought to be the happiest of all the days of the year is when we get a chance just to say, you know what, we could have used this for this, that, and the other. But here we have an opportunity. Watch this. Listen, we have an opportunity to be like God, to be godly. Because didn't it all start with Him being so generous to us?
Right.
And so when we graciously and thankfully receive, then we're directed by the Spirit of God where to give it. Then we pass that on to someone else. We produce, it says it in these verses, we produce in their heart a thankfulness to God also. And we were the ones that God used to produce more thanksgiving to God. That what it says there? Let's look at it. How about this? Verse number 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want to the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Did you get that? He says, not only are you helping somebody by passing on what God's given you, you produce in them thanksgiving to God. And so that comes full circle then. I receive from the Lord, and God, I'm so thankful. And then, Lord, I get to use it and distribute it according to your direction. And then I get to do something that makes me so happy because, God, you have blessed me so much that now I got an opportunity to be godly in this matter of trying to bless somebody else. And you know what that blessing passed on produces? Thankfulness in their heart to God. God likes thankfulness. So he got it here. And then I got my A plus, because I'm not going to let the sun rise or set without many times a day saying, thank you, Lord. I'm going to get an A here because I want to take care of those that God's entrusted in my care. I want to make sure that I take the extra and look around and say, God, direct me. And then I want to make sure that where I'm given, it's producing what God would make God happy. And then I get to look around here and I got to say, okay, what's my spirit while I'm doing this? Am I being that obedient child that's doing what God told me, but I'm really not happy about it? Or does God see cheerfulness in my heart because I get to carry on by giving to others what he so generously first gave to me? Folks, that's the report card. Now, there's another sermon, but you'll have to come back tonight. I'm going to preach a message tonight, why I want straight A's on my report card. Why I want, preacher, I need a little more motivation. We usually do, amen? Why I want straight A's on my report card. We'll preach that tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this season and for us being allowed to reemphasize this important trait. Oh my, from Genesis to Revelation, if we just chase it through the Bible, the word thanks and thankful and thanksgiving, thankfulness, Lord, we would find out that's one of the premier topics in the Bible. So Lord, don't let thankfulness die in our heart. Lord, don't let us become unthankful for all that you've done for us. Lord, help us to reignite that. Lord, produce in our church just a fresh, sweet, wonderful revival of thanksgiving, thankful giving. And Lord, please, we ask, dear God, in this season that you'll be pleased. Oh, I'd like for you just to follow every member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, everyone that attends. I'd like you to just follow them this week and reap the benefits of this message. And Lord, I think we ought to 1,000 times 10,000 in this next week, you ought to hear come off the lips of your people thanksgiving and thankfulness. You've been so good to us, so generous to us. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, I pray for that one may never have received you as personal Savior, Lord. There's someone here today that's never been saved. Lord, I pray that they would be saved so they could enter into this Father-Son relationship. That's so sweet and so precious and so good. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you speak to hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name.